Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Okay. Hello and welcome to this edition of Your 1 Hour Inspirational Program. I'm your host and facilitator. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We have a really good spiritual show for you tonight. We're so glad that you tuned in with us this evening, and we're hoping to hear from some of our listeners out there, and you can press one early on your dial. Tonight's topic is what is your mission to spread the gospel? Or really, are you ashamed before men? Scriptures we're going to concentrate on tonight, found in Luke 9, in Luke 9, 26, and then Matthew 10, 33. Excuse me, just before we get started, I want to invite the presence of the Lord into our program. And Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessings of just giving us life every day and the newness of a brand new day each and every day. We invite you into our program, and then we ask, Lord, that we take from this program more than what we brought to it, and that it will edify and grow our souls and our spirits and our minds and our hearts. And where we need change, we ask that you would help us in that direction. These and other blessings we thank you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's go ahead and bring in our co-host for the evening. Let's start out with Sir Benny. Sir Benny, thank you so very much for joining us this evening. It's always a pleasure to have you, sir.
Good evening. Happy Friday. It's a pleasure to be with you all tonight. I'm excited about the show, so let's go.
All right. We're certainly looking forward to having you here with us. And the world famous all the way from South Florida, Daring Deedee. Daring Deedee, it's always a pleasure to have you with us, young lady.
Thank you, and I'm looking forward to tonight's message. Hello, everybody.
All right, excellent. And then the new addition to our family, we want to go ahead and welcome Dr. Patty Cakes. Dr. Patty Cakes, it's a pleasure to have you this evening. Welcome.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for having me. Happy Veterans Day.
Happy Veterans Day to all of our veterans out there, men and women who served in the military. Thank you also very much for your services. Thank you for that, Dr. Patty Cakes. All right, so tonight we're talking about what is your mission to spread the gospel, or are you really ashamed? Now, you know, I mentioned earlier that we look at this scripture. Let's start with Luke 9:26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. So this sounds rather serious. I mean, if you're ashamed. So let me start with Sir Ben. Sir Ben, I mean, when we talk about, do I have to have a mission to spread the gospel? I know there's a scripture that tells us that go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, and then shall the end come. So, I mean, do I really have to do that? Do I have to have a mission? Do I have to tell others? Why can't I just, you know, take it for myself? What do you think, Sir Ben?
Yes, you do have to have a mission, because how can you not acknowledge the person that wakes you up, the God identity that wakes you up, that gives you the strength to get you started on your way, the one that blesses you when nobody else can? One that provides. provide things for you when no one else can provide for you. So how can you live a life that says, I don't want to acknowledge that which loves me, that acknowledges me, that blesses me, that gives me all the things that I need to sustain myself in this life? So it's almost like looking in the mirror and looking at yourself and saying, ooh, look at this creation. But yet you don't acknowledge that which created you. That just seems, well, that just seems like you don't have a love for the one who created you to be loved.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's bring in Go Girl. Go Girl, welcome to tonight's broadcast. It's a pleasure and honor to have you.
Good evening. How is everyone? Sorry for the tardiness.
Oh, that's okay. We're so glad to have you here. Thank you for joining us. Go Girl, I want to ask you the question. We're talking about what is your mission to spread the gospel, or are you ashamed? And Sir Ben was saying that, we do need to spread the gospel. It sounds like it's a charge or a commission to us that we have to spread the gospel. But, I mean, it's like we have several different scenarios that we're going to be presenting tonight. But, I mean, why can't people just figure it out for themselves? Go Girl, what do you think? I mean, why have to do it?
For one thing, people aren't going to figure it out for themselves because we have a devil, we have Satan that is always trying to even block us. So not that they won't be exposed to something that would tell them that there's something greater than myself, but I think as disciples, we should be influential in spreading the message. Now, are we trying to make everybody or everyone have the same picture? No. Also, we live in the United States. We have opportunities that other people don't have. But perhaps if you were, you know, in a third world country or someplace like the Aborigines, you know, maybe they might see it different. I think everyone does have an opportunity, but more so, we get a chance to explain what God has done for us. We have the digital services now. So when we're living in this way, we can utilize whatever we have to try to allow people to have a better picture by, you know, our own testimony. So I think we should do that, yes.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. You're listening to your one-hour inspirational program, and tonight, if you're just joining us, what is your mission to spread the gospel, or are you ashamed before men? Dr. Patty Cakes, I want to bring you in here. I mean, we can't see God. We don't see Jesus. Isn't it all abstract? I mean, doesn't it come down to just your personal beliefs? And it's like, okay, I can't see him. I've only heard about him. Why should I believe it and then tell other people what I can't even see? Talk to me, Dr. Patty Cakes.
Well, you're asking, you know, why people believe in him, or I thought it was more about...
If you, you want me to spread the gospel, but how can I spread the gospel when I can't see him, I can't touch him, I can't feel him?
Gotcha.
You know, isn't it all abstract? Could it be that creation is abstract and it's a matter of a person's perception?
It gets so deep when you start really thinking about it. I mean, I know I get in my head about that stuff too, where I fully believe in God and Jesus, you know, our Savior and everything. And it is a big concept idea to other people. I guess growing up and just knowing and believing, you know, it's like a part of everything that you ever learn. So for me, it's not abstract, but I can see how I think that, like, sometimes our mind blocks us from realizing that even if we're not in a position, like, for a voice, like you're on your show, or someone who's a youth group leader or something like that, that you know, that's like that Satan thing, and they're like, okay, I'm not good enough to spread the gospel, right? Or what difference am I going to make? I'm just a mom to these six kids that they're, you know. So that's where more it convicts me, and I feel confused because it's like, man, I don't really – I really let that flourish, like that lie, you know, and it blocks me from ever – really doing anything about it. Like I am not ashamed, but yeah, I feel like I would guess I'm not embarrassed of God or anything, but I find myself censoring and holding back, if that makes sense.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by, and that's tonight's topic, you know. And of course, this show is never intended to turn people away from God or anything of the sort. I strongly believe in God. I mean, this is a spiritual show that provides information that's for people to get to thinking and wondering, what are we doing? What are we doing, if anything? Or are we really ashamed to do something or to tell someone about God? Because nowadays it seems almost that if you mention God or Jesus and nobody can see him, you know, and you say you felt him, he spoke to you, and people start to look at you like they got some mental challenges going on up in there. Darren Deedy, I want to bring you in here. It's like, can you see yourself telling people, like, God is real, you know, praise the Lord, on your job? Or would they fire you?
I don't think they would fire me, but, of course, we've got to kind of keep the workplace serene. I just feel that I should carry my way to be more pure with people, friendly, but on the other aspect, you know, people may not believe in God or Jesus because they can't see them, they can't feel them. But I always say, and I just love the saying, that you can't see the wind, but you can feel it. So until you have that relationship with them, but, you know, I just say, shine his love through you on your actions, your words, and people will start, you know, wanting whatever you're drinking, okay? So that's the way I look at it.
Okay, all right. That's interesting. That's interesting. I'm sorry, I just got a message that, I'm so sorry you all just got distracted, a message that someone was going through, one of our co-host friends is transitioning now, and that's, you know, in the final stages of life as we know it. So I apologize for that. And I'm just encouraging her to have someone baptize him. Okay, let's go back here, and let me just say, Port Rosette, let's welcome you to tonight's program. Good evening, Port Rosette. It's a pleasure to have you. I'm sorry, Port Rosette is not there. Fashion for Greatness. It's nice to have you with us. I got the queue gave us a different number. Fashion for Greatness, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for having me.
Okay, excellent. Yes, okay, so Sir Ben, here we are. We're talking about abstract, you know, God. What makes you, let me start with asking you this question, Sir Ben, and that is, what makes you a believer, other than what your parents may have told you, your grandparents, you've heard it from the church? What makes you a believer? What have you experienced in your own spirit that says God is real? You know, and I mean, you remember now, people start to say, well, if you say, I heard his voice, and then it's like, God told me to tell you this. Well, why didn't God tell me that himself? So, Sir Ben, what makes you a believer? All right, perhaps Sir Ben is on mute. Okay, let's go to...
I was on mute. I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Sir Ben. What makes you a believer?
Well, what makes me a believer is that I realize there's some things that it's just impossible for me to do on my own. And so because I know it's impossible, I've learned that there has to be a greater identity, greater than me, greater than the ancestors, greater than all the other things of the world. And it allows me to rethink, who am I in this whole scheme of things? And because I know there is a God, and I know there's somebody that created me, and I know that he loves me, it's given me an aptitude to say, hey, I have to give homage to that which has created me. And by doing that, it allows me to have a greater love for him because he loves me.
Okay, all right. Let me go up here. Fashion for greatness. What makes you a believer? What makes you really believe in without a shadow of a doubt? Like in the law that says, if there's a shadow of a doubt, you know, then the person has to be is innocent. So what makes you have a shadow of a doubt that God exists?
What makes me a believer is that, I mean, of course, our parents always took us to church and things of nature, but I have had the chance to experience motherhood. And when I read scripture to tell me that, you know, the pain will be so severe, but when I turn away from, when I look upon that child and turn away from, you would never, ever believe that that pain is like it is because you begin to think about the love of that child. So that's when I really became more of a believer that he is who he really said he is because of the experience of being a mom.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. Let's go back here with Go Girl. Go Girl. Here we are, you know, we're talking about spreading the gospel, or are you ashamed? Go Girl, you don't really have to answer this question, but if you were asked the question, when was the last time you told somebody about God that was not already a believer? I mean, let's just throw that one out there. Let me start with myself first. When was the last time I told somebody about God that was not already a believer? I'd have to ponder that question and probably say, you know what? I don't know. A perfect stranger? I can't remember the last time that I actually told a perfect stranger about God. Now the question becomes, why? Oh, and I almost want to say, I don't know. I didn't think about it. So, go girl, and that's me. And that's for real. It's like, when was the last time I told a perfect stranger about, listen, God loves you and so do I? You know, and I don't even know people. You can't walk with somebody and say, God loves you. And so, I mean, you can say God loves you, but when you say so do I, how do you even say that to a perfect stranger, go girl?
Well, I didn't necessarily say it in that way, but with our political environment that we're dealing with and people who are just, that for me, it seems as though they're worshiping a party and people or person or individual. And so I actually got to do it, and I do it more often now. Sometimes it's on social media, but someone texts me something this morning, and I was able to talk to them. Now, this person grew up as a Christian, but he has abandoned the entire thing. And so I was just referencing a particular scripture to him. And, you know, instead of him sending me what he was sending me. But I think I have the opportunity daily, not with a stranger per se, but someone that's doubting or someone that has turned away or really questioning whether there is a God. I think that happens often.
Okay, so you're saying you have the opportunity. So would you say that you're taking advantage of the opportunity by doing so on a, and you use the word daily basis. And this is not a program to judge anybody, you all, because I put myself out there first and say, I can't remember the last time I told somebody, I mean, other than people who are true believers. So this is one reason why I have this forum here, you know, trying to start at least a mission to get people talking and hoping people will invite people to the show, because it's like I wasn't even inviting people to the church. And I look in the mirror and say, it hurts me to even say I'm ashamed. But it's like I'm embarrassed. But God knows our heart. And it's like, it's making us, it's like, really, if you're not doing it, then go, girl, are we ashamed? I mean, it's like, why am I not doing it?
I wouldn't say you're ashamed. Maybe you're just, your focus or your thought is not on having that type of rapport with a person, or maybe, you know, so many times now, you know, people want you to kind of stay in your lane and mind your business, and I'm not interested in that. So we tend to be more standoffish with particularly those who don't know us. And then, you know, because we have this church and state rule, just like she said in her job, you know, you don't want to offend anyone. So pretty much you can only tell them about your experience or just a quick little testimony of, you know, what God has done for you. To me, that's a message all by itself. For me.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We have a number of scenarios that we want to present to you all tonight, and we'll give several of our co-hosts those. If you want to join the conversation, please press 1 on your dial. Luke 9:26, we're going to go back to that. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me. Whoa. This is some serious information, you all. If you are ashamed, and we try to justify things by saying, I'm not ashamed. Okay, then why am I not doing it? That's the question I think we all, you know, and this is certainly not a judgment call. I'm looking in the mirror at myself and saying, why haven't I done this? I have no justification. I have no reason. I'm around people constantly, you know, throughout travels, and I'm sure many of you all are. And it's like, I won't even pass out a tract. You know, give somebody, it's like, I might offend someone, just like Go Girl says. So, whosoever shall be ashamed of me. I'm trying to figure out this word ashamed. Dr. Patty Cakes, let's bring you in here. How would you define ashamed? If you, not just, not you, but I'm just saying, you know, if a woman feels that she's overweight and she's ashamed to go to this, to the beach with a bikini on, help me, Holy Ghost here. You know, I know it might be a little extreme and this might be an extreme analogy, but then Dr. Patty Kate, she's ashamed, and it's like it's her birthday, and people want to come. Girl, bring your live your best life and put on. She's like, I'm ashamed. What does that mean? She's ashamed.
You're afraid of what somebody else is going to think of you, so you're embarrassed, and it's mostly like if no one was there, it wouldn't matter. But the presence of other people,
yeah.
You know, if you're in your backyard with your bathing suit on, you might feel down about yourself, but you wouldn't be embarrassed and ashamed like you would be in a group of people that are aware that there'll be, you know, kind of there'll be judgments, you know, and, yeah, it just makes you feel worse.
Yeah. So, you know, in other words, Dr. Patty Cakes, are you inferring that it is possible that we're not doing it because maybe even subconsciously we're thinking, I'm wondering what people are going to say about me if I say, you know, hey, you know, praise the Lord at work to a coworker. They're going to be looking like, what's wrong with him? What's wrong with her? Dr. Patty Cates,
well,
what's up with that?
Well, you know, I just thought when you said that, it's like when somebody may say, what's wrong with you and stuff like that, the risk, as soon as you let yourself known, you know, as soon as you have your stance on an issue and they know, oh, she's one of those Bible people,
yeah,
right, or whatever,
yeah,
you may lose those friendships, because it's just like with politics and the vaccine and all these other crazy things going on in the world. The second you say you have sort of a belief about anything,
yeah,
whether it's gluten-free foods or the devil, or, you know what I mean, or gluten is the devil, whichever, I mean, people are, they like form these immediate opinions based on these simple beliefs, and you see how emotionally charged like everybody in this,
yes,
world is right now. They'll ready to,
yes,
jump down your throat about, like I said, something stupid at a grocery store or whatever. So when it comes to something of the magnitude of God and like such a, you know, a big topic, I mean, yeah, I have no excuse either, but this doesn't register to me. I feel bad because I've been in survival mode, but I haven't done any of this.
That's where I am. That's you know, and having this show tonight, it's like a wake up call. It's like, okay, I can justify it over here by saying, okay, I do a spiritual show, God, isn't that enough? But it's the people who are inviting people, but yet I'm talking about me going out. It's like I dare not go door to door. It's like I'm trying to justify. They might have a dog. They might have lizards. I moved from Florida to get away from the lizards, and I found when I first moved into a house, a lizard was right there on the wall outside. So it's like, I thought I was out of Florida. So, but nevertheless, Sir Ben, I want to bring you in here. And it's like, I'm trying to find all excuses why not to. That seems like it makes me ashamed. And he says, Luke 9:26, whosoever, that's anyone, is ashamed of me and of my word. Now this really hits home. It's when you read this here and you go back and you start to decipher and dissect this, there been, how can you say we are not ashamed if we're not doing it?
Well, if you're not doing that, if you're not bringing people with you to learn more about the God that you serve, the God that's in your life, the Christ that's an example of who you want to be, then you are ashamed. You are clearly, clearly ashamed. And so what you got to do is do some soul searching to see, why am I ashamed? Am I ashamed because I'm embarrassed by what people think about me? Am I ashamed because maybe I really don't believe that God is the true person in my life? Could it be maybe that you have gotten a bit of pride in you that tells you, oh, I don't need that. I've been doing so good on my own. I don't really need that. Or could it just be that because you've never seen God or you never had a direct interaction with him, maybe you just really don't believe. And it's not that it's a bad reflection on you. It's just that we fight against flesh all the time. And our flesh is constantly saying, ah, there ain't no God. Ah, you did this on your own. Ah, it's your education. Ah, it's your job. Ah, it's your money. And it's a constantly I. And so a lot of times it does put a reflection on us, and it does make us feel bad, and it does make it seem like, well, I don't want to say anything to anybody because I don't want people to think bad about me. But it's not that people are going to be thinking bad about you. It's about the God that wakes you up every morning. Do you want him mad at you? That's the question.
Right. And Sir Ben, that was very well put. We're going to have you do our closing of the show, if you don't mind, when we're closing out tonight. Would you do that for us? What is your mission, to spread the gospel, or are you ashamed before men? You close it out.
Yes.
Okay, good. We got about 34 minutes before we close the show tonight. We still got a lot to cover you all. So here it is. Now, I want to go in here, and I want to say, let's bring in Fashion for Greatness. Okay, and I'm not embarrassed about what I'm about to say, you all. I was on several prayer lines, right, getting people praying and so forth and so on, and it was like the July bar was coming up. That's the bar exam to be an attorney. I did all my studying. I spent months studying and having faith in God and having these affirmations and everything, and all the people were calling me and just saying, we're praying for you, and we know you're going to do it. God's got you. And then all of a sudden, I get my results. I get the results for the fourth time. And it says, we regret to inform you. So, Fashion for Greatness, when you see we regret to inform you, what does that mean? What's coming?
I think, it's just a normal thing for you to react like that, but you have to know that there's greater coming later, because in the pain, there's always a blessing. You just have to be patient and just wait for it. You know, it's not to sedate you. It's just to make you grow and be patient in the process.
All right. So same question to Dr. Patty. Dr. Patty, when you see the words, you get that email before they send you the hard copy in the mail and says, we regret to inform you. That means what? What's about to come? That means what?
It means it's not going to be what you want.
Exactly. And so I'm over here now, I get these results, and it's like, you did not pass, dummy. You know, that's what I'm going through my head. It's like, all of these people were praying for you, having special prayer. And so now, it's almost like, Dr. Patty, it's almost like the devil is like, ha, 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 ha. And he's making a song out of it. Like, you believe, I can kind of laugh now, but I've been crying, you all. And I'm not playing. I've been crying. That thing hurts. And it's like the devil is mocking me, laughing at me. And now all of these people were expecting me. They were about to have a celebration. So, Dr. Patty, and I heard what Fashion for Greatness said. The greatness is about to come. But how do I now dry my face, dry my tears, pick myself up, compose myself, and say, yes, God, you are great. I'm trusting you. Now I'm going to go tell some people about you. This happens to people all the time. And then I've been reading other people that didn't pass, and I can relate to them. We're all hurting. So, Dr. Patty, how can I be expected to now, when I got lots of folks that were counting me in passes, now how can I go and face a stranger and say, listen, no matter what you're going through, God's got you. Come on, Dr. Patty.
Yeah, you know, that's so hard. And my daughter asked me the other day something similar, like with why, you know, one of her friends was sick or something, whatever. Why does God let that happen? I mean, it's so hard because, I mean, if you have that experience with God, sometimes even as believers from, you know, early on, we struggle with the faith. God, well, okay, why have you forsaken me? You know, like, you know, people have said in the Bible before, you know, and God was like right there. You know, I think it was the story of when they're when Jesus calmed the storm or whatever, and I think one of them cried out, I don't know if I'm completely right, but he cries out, you know, God, why have you forsaken me? And he was like literally right there on the boat with them the entire time. And like, it's just like the faith, you know, the mentality of saying basically this or something better helps you in that situation. But for an outsider, as far as do you believe in God based on X, Y, Z, do you believe in God? Yes, you can pursue, you know, and push forward saying this is God. He's always with you. There's something better. But when you're in the heartache and you're in the trenches, you're just all in your feelings. You're all in that hurt and you just can't believe it because you're basing it on results. You're saying, but he said this and now look, here I am. But it's hard to like see in like that, like acceptance and awareness that, okay, really like we don't know what God is using in our lives and even the people you meet along the way, maybe because of the delay, like being divinely delayed for a car accident or whatever, even if it's a test like this, God's inner workings could be so far surpassing. You might meet somebody that you wouldn't have met that saved their life, and then you still end up impacting for the greater good, for the glory of God. You know, it's just, it's too hard for us to understand with our minds.
You know, that is brilliantly stated.
I don't know how to explain that to somebody else.
Yeah, it's brilliantly stated because, and what has helped me to make it through this, and it's what Fashion to Greatness was also saying, and I think we're all saying this tonight, what is working with me, because every day I go through this, I have my moments, every single day. But I realize every day is a brand new day to make a fresh start with God, and I have my studies with him every morning. And it's like, it still hurts, though. That's the human part of me. It still hurts because I know what I've gone through. But then the hope starts to come, and I want to encourage you all out there. The hope starts to come as I reflect back on what God has done for my life. There was a test once that I had to take 6 times. And it didn't pass. I missed it by 1 point, missed it by 3 points, missed it by 13 points, and 6 times. And I'm saying, God, what is this here? Why? I do all of this studying. And then it dawned on me, God had closed that door. And what took place after that was the greatest thing that had ever happened to me, other than the birth of my children, that happened to me after that time. I landed a job, whoa, that I was qualified for years that I had forgot I was qualified for. It put me in a position to be elevated. But God took me out of that comfort zone where I was for 10 years by closing the door and placed me somewhere where when he first placed me there, I was like, God, you really have some serious jokes, God. Why would you put me in this place that's dirty? I'm used to, you know, eloquent places of working. And lo and behold, when he put me there, I thought it was the worst. I say, he must be punishing me for something I did in my past, present, and the future. But I ended up staying at that job for 17 years, and that was the best thing that had ever happened for me because I began to excel in every direction. But had he allowed me to stay in my comfort zone, so, you know, so I'm encouraging you all out there. If, you know, if I could just keep making it through step by step and having certain friends that are still encouraging me, because we need each other, you all, to encourage each other. And as long as I've got that encouragement, as I encourage you all, the greatness, just like Fashion to Greatness said it, is yet to come. And that gives us hope, something to look forward to. let's go back to this here, you all, because I'm not making it about me at all tonight. We're going to go and bring in one of our sponsors, Ms. Marjorie Cross, tonight. Ms. Cross, thank you for joining us this evening. Ms. Cross, as we look at this, here, we're talking about a mission to spread the gospel, or are you ashamed? Are you – I'm not putting anybody on the spot. If you want to pass on this question, pass. Are you spreading the gospel? Should we all have some kind of mission that we're doing, Ms. Cross, to spread the word?
Yes.
Why?
Yes. Good evening, Dr. Walker, and good evening, all your co-hosts and to everyone on the line. Yes, we do. We do. We should be spreading the word. You know, we should read the Bible, and we should pray and talk to people about the Lord, because I've done that a lot of time. Practically every day, you know, when I see somebody or on the phone, I talk to them about the Lord and I pray with them. So I think we should be doing that. You know, just spread the word of the Lord.
All right. Yes, okay. We're going to actually stand by. Darren Deedy, I want to bring you back in here. Let's start with some of these scenarios because we're almost out of time already. We still got a lot to cover. Let's begin, Darren Deedy, with this first scenario here. This person says, I work at a public facility, and we are not allowed to mention God or spiritual matters. I have been pondering this very question, what am I doing to spread the gospel, for years, and wonder what could I do to spread the word of God. I need to do something. Darren Deedy, what can they do? She works at a public facility. You know, she might get fired. You start talking about God and Jesus.
Again, like I had mentioned earlier, just the way that she carries herself, reflects his love within her, so she can carry it silently. And again, you know, people will notice, they'll ask, you know, what you do. If they ask you about it, maybe she can't, like, sit there and get jump up on the soapbox and start preaching or anything. But, you know, someone asks her, what do you do for, you know, your entertainment, or what gives you such peace, you know what I mean? And if they ask her a question, then she can answer it, I mean, without, you know, getting up on that soapbox thing. But yeah, just carry yourself, and they'll see it.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Dr. Patty Case, I want to bring you in here, kind of going down this list here. Dr. Patty Case, would you say it's fair to, is it fair to say that you have a relatively at least one meal a day, and your family has at least one good meal a day? Is that, would you say that's fair to say?
That they have one good meal a day?
That they have at least one good meal every day. Would you say that's fair to say that in your household, everybody has at least one good meal a day? At least one, minimum. Okay.
Yes.
So then, Dr. Patty Case, what about these commercials that we see on television where children are starving in developing countries around the world? And, you know, and we're feeding our families and we're saying, you know, thank God I'm not, that's not my kids over there. You know, how can we really, Dr. Patty Case, just, you know, be so grateful that we weren't born in one of those developing countries, and we just kind of like ignore that? Dr. Patty Case, how can we eat our food and feed our families? You know, should that be our mission too? Should I have to worry about them? You didn't give birth to those kids over there. But is that your responsibility, Dr. Patty Case, or our responsibility?
Ooh, I mean, the Bible does say that you're supposed to help care for orphans and for, I forget how it's worded, but I know it specifically mentions orphans and, like, widows, I believe.
Okay.
I mean, certainly Jesus would. I mean, it's not my responsibility, no. I mean, I feel convicted at times to try to find one of those programs that where we could, you know, for Christmas, per se, say, hey, guys, instead of getting way too many things we don't need, like, you know, Operation Christmas Child has things we could buy, like a goat or something for, like, a village, you know. But, I mean, I'm grateful for sure, you know, that that's not, you know, what I have to think about, you know. Are my kids going to be able to survive? Do they have enough food? I mean, that's terrible.
Right, exactly. We're going to ask you all to stand by. What is your mission, to spread the gospel, or are you ashamed? Go Girl, I want to bring you in here now with another one of our scenarios here. And this one is, well, I have tried to invite some of my friends to church, even when we are gathering at the club. Okay. But they seem to judge me by saying, how could I be in church when I'm routinely at the club? Am I wrong or something for desiring to have fun at the club? Go, girl, what do you think? What do you think? At least she's at the club inviting her friends, but they won't go because they're judging her because they're saying, girl, you're in the club with us. Go, girl. Help me with that. Perhaps Go Girl is on mute. Let me go up here.
I'm here.
Are you there,
I'm
Go
here.
Girl?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. I see that whatever your situation is, it basically comes down to your faith. For those on the outside, they have things that they think about, those playing the lottery, their hope is to win the jackpot or whatever.
Yeah.
And they do it, many do it diligently. Some, you know, they go overboard, some spend, you know, money they don't even have. But they can have a hope in something like that, so they can have a hope in Christ also. But to try to get them to see where, you know, your chances of winning this jackpot are, they can't even name the percentage or the number. But you know, that's something you still would hope for. So we as, you know, individuals who do believe in Christ should be willing to express our hope, I should say. We should be willing to express our hope to those who are not interested.
Okay, so Go Girl, to answer this question directly so I can be clear, if she's at the club and she's inviting her friends, do they have a right to judge her and say, girl, you're at the club with us. You know, how are you going to invite us to church? Or should she continue to invite them to church, even though she's at the club? Is there something wrong? She's wondering, is there something wrong with being at the club?
No, I think she can continue to invite them. She just have to tell them that, listen, maybe it was they had some kind of activity at the club. People do frequently have birthday or gatherings in clubs. I have been to clubs where someone was celebrating a birthday. It's not a place I frequent. It's not a place that I say, oh, I'm going to the club. But if someone had, you know, have something, I might go and at least stop by. I might even stay for a minute and talk to people that are there. But no, I don't think that, you know, you should be judgmental about that, and they shouldn't be judgmental, because being in the club is one place and being at church is another. And you do see people's perspectives when you're in different environments.
Now, you know, clubs in California, when I was out there for a while, I frequented some of the clubs. My brother knew who lives out there, still lives out there. He knew a lot of the celebrities and everything, and he was taking me to introduce me to people. And I'd never really been to clubs in my life. And it was like, it was a lot of fun, just, you know, as long as the people are not getting intoxicated. But the dancing and having a good time is like, and the psychedelic lights, it looked like a lot of fun. And I was, you know, because I had never been and told that you shouldn't be in the clubs. And it's like, my brother grew up just like I did in the church. And it's like, man, this is kind of fun. But what if something happens? Is the Lord going to be in here with me with that? So, I mean, I can see how we can get into judgments on things. But, you know, I love what you said earlier about it comes down to actually a belief system. You know, a belief system. What are we doing? Okay, if I was at the club last night, now I'm in the church today, I mean, I still believe in God. Sir Ben, I want to bring you in here just quickly, and I know you're preparing to close us out. So if I'm struggling, it's not really a struggle. It's like, okay, I danced at the club, and California clubs are real nice, you all. And, I mean, I'm not trying to tell you to go out there, but it's like I never forgot those things. And then I even saw Kenny G in concert. That was beautiful. I mean, it's like California, that side of life is beautiful, but I wouldn't want to raise kids in L.A. I really wouldn't. It's just too fast, or New York for that matter. So, Sir Ben, could I have been at the club last night and church today? I mean, does that make me, like, unholy, unrighteous?
No. As a matter of fact, it makes you normal, human. Let me ask you a question. How many of us go through our day in a perfected way? How many of us just have perfect days? We don't think nothing bad. We don't do nothing bad. We don't say nothing bad. None of us. And so you want to take a specific moment, going to the club, and you want to make it about just that? Really? Aren't we more than just conquerors? Aren't we more than – he doesn't see us for our sins. He sees us from our heart, from the heart. He knows our hearts. You can make your mouth say anything. I know some people that are up in the pulpit preaching and the biggest, nastiest people you could ever meet in your life. But then I also know some people that are on the ground, homeless and whatever, and they'll give you their last. So why do we look at a specific moment? God looks at the heart. The man looks at the outside because we don't know no better. We haven't perfected our perfection as to who God is in our lives. So in a brief sentence is, no, live your life until you come to the understanding of everything. A baby starts by crawling. A toddler starts by wobbling and trying to figure out how to hold himself up. A child learns how to stand correctly. And as an adult, we learn how to be postured and walk in the correct way. And then as we get older, we resort back to what we were as children. We start to stumble a little bit. Our steps have to be a little bit more ordered. So life is a cycle. It's a cycle, and God knew these things. And so he just wants us to live our best lives. We all have a prodigal son, prodigal daughter moment, every one of us. I have not met one person in my life that didn't have one. So we have to live as though we are trying to do the best we can, because that's where grace and mercy covers us. Even in our foolishness, grace and mercy.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're racing now because we're clearly almost out of time. Let me go here now. Marjorie Cross, I want to bring you in here with this scenario here. She says, when it comes to what are you doing to spread the gospel, or are you ashamed before men? Yes, I read Luke 9:26. I personally think that we can spread the gospel by the life we live, something that Go Girl said, before men by setting the right example. That's how I see it. What do you think of that?
Yes, I think that's what the life we live, they said, let the work I do speak for me. And you can do that by the life you live. Sometimes people look at you and said, oh, it's something different about her. So you can do that. That you can do that.
All right, Fashion for Greatness. Fashion for Greatness, I want to bring you in here with another scenario right quick. And this one says, I am a really shy person when it comes to spreading the message or even talking to people. I hardly talk to people on my job or otherwise. How can it be expected of me to spread the gospel when I'm usually too shy to even talk? So what do you say to that, Fashion to Greatness?
Well, I would say that the more they, you know, hear the gospel, which is the word of God, that's showing them and teaching them how to not be in a place of fear. So it teaches them to, you know, open up their mouth and be able to use what God has given them to actually share the gospel. And also because that person is quiet, that the, you know, just because the mere presence alone, the meekness, the kindness, you know, not saying something sometimes, that can always be a sign, that's also a sign of strength. And that may be attracting to someone that, you know, this person might know the Lord. And she could be he or she could share it in that perspective as well. I think so.
All right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Good point. Very good point. Go Girl, we want to go to you with this next one here. When it comes to spreading the gospel, Luke 9:26, I heard the scripture reading on that, and it's very deep, and it's got me thinking. There's the way that I see it, though. Although I'm in my 50s now, but I feel that I don't know enough of the word to actually tell people about the word. Go Girl, is that like an excuse? I mean, I don't know. They say they don't know enough. And I would think that they're in their 50s.
Well, what is enough? What is enough to point someone in the right direction? Sometimes you don't even have to speak. You just, you know, position your hand and show them that direction. So what might be enough for one person might not be enough, or it may spark the interest. But you simply telling a person what God is to you, and it doesn't have to be a sermon. It can just be
you know, maybe you were sick or you know of someone that was sick, and you kept praying that person came out of that. And sometimes, you know, people don't look at that as you know, something that they believe, oh, what the doctors did. Yeah, but the doctors are able to do what they're supposed to do because God gave us the wisdom to do that. All by themselves, doctors, it's a science. And just as everything else, again, it goes down to hope. Sometimes we say, oh, I have favor. And people say, well, why would God favor you? I'm not saying he doesn't favor you, but I realize that I have favor because of the different things that have happened to me, and he still covers me anyway.
All right. We're certainly going to ask you to stand by here. Darren Deedy, I want to bring you in here. Dr. Patty Case, it'll be the same question posed to you on this one here. This scenario says, I think you have to have a special calling to tell people. This is really interesting. I think you have to have a special calling to tell people about the Word of God, like being a preacher or something. I mean, I hardly go to church at all, and my life is good. Some of the church people seem like they have the devil in them. Darren Deedy, let me start with you. It's like, do you really have to have a special calling to tell people? Like, you got to be a preacher or something?
It's not great.
No, I don't believe you have to be a preacher or anything. And we all carry our own special gift of communication. You might be able to reach someone, you know, at a lower level who may get turned off by an actual preacher-type preacher. And I liked exactly what Marjorie was saying, that carry yourself as Christ is in within you. And it shall reflect on the other people. So you can, you know, you've heard the saying, you can lead the horse to the water, but you can't make it drink it. But, you know, sometimes they want to taste your Kool-Aid, if you know what I mean. So,
of course.
You don't have to, we all have gifts in our own little way.
All right, certainly we're going to ask you to stand by. Dr. Patty Case, I want to bring you in here along the same lines of that question. Do you have to have that special calling? And then they went on to say that some church people, they pointed them out. Some church people, you know, that seem like they have the devil in them. What are they actually, how do you perceive this?
People can be possessed, you mean?
Well, they have the devil in them. Sometimes people, like there used to be a show, Flip Wilson Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. So it's as if people start, when they do something real bad out there, you know, and especially like if they're gossiping, people will judge and say they got the devil in them. If you wear something inappropriate to church, it's like, look at that young person got on this halter top in church. How dare she come to church like that? You know, she must have the devil in her. You know, the man over there having an affair, they suspect he's having an affair with the deaconess. And so they say he got the devil in him. So this is what this is actually saying, that some of the church people seem like they got the devil in them. So how is it that they're telling people about God when they're thinking that you got to be a preacher or something? Do you have to be a preacher to tell people about God?
Definitely not. I mean, I think those kinds of, like, ways and those kinds of judgments turns off so many people, though, from the church, you know?
It does.
Like, it's one bad experience, and it's like, that's why I think people hold back, myself included, because I don't want them to just take on that is the way that people, you know, at church behave or interact. I mean, I've had situations in small groups and stuff that made me never want to go back to church, and I didn't go for years afterwards because I was so hurt, and I was like, what's the point? You know, everybody there was treating me a certain way over, you know, and just whatever. It's just disheartening, and that's not why we go, but I mean, it's all over the place.
No, I certainly understand that. We're going to ask you to stand by, and that judgment that people do, and I have, I mean, it's like I remember becoming an usher in the church more than, and I thought that was the most important position to have in the church. And the reason why, I remember when I was a little boy, and yes, I was mischievous, and, you know, I wasn't perfect, and my mother called me Angel because she wanted me to be perfect. And it was like, I don't even know what perfect is. And I probably still don't know today what perfect is. However, it's like this lady who was an usher, she would always, we would chew gum, the little boys in my little group, we would chew gum because we knew. Her name was Miss Roca, Sister Roca. I mean, she was the meanest person in the church. And Sister Roca, she always came looking for me because I just had the gum and I was chewing it like so she could come. And all the little boys on my row, she come, give me that gum, give me that gum, get that gum out your mouth, get that gum out your mouth. And we would just laugh. And we would be, I mean, God forgive me, I was bad. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. But Sister Roca, we did that, you know, because she came every week. And I was like, that's there she's come. Here she's come. That's that mean lady. And that's how we knew her. So when I grew up, I said, I want to be an usher because I think it's the way you treat them when they come in there. Dr. Pettigrew, it's the way you treat them. If you treat them with a smile, even the children, you know, and they look at you, that image that I want to be here in church, not to do what we did to Sister Roca, but we messed with her because she was mean. And we were just, we found ways to have fun with her meanness. So I wanted to be an usher to change that. And so I did. And I learned from that, treat people nice because you're the first person that they will see to enter the gates of that church. And that's what, and that was very important for me. Let's go on. We're almost out of time here. Oh, my goodness. In about 2 minutes, Sir Ben is going to be closing us out. I want to go now to, let's go to Ms. Cross. Quickly here, Ms. Cross, this scenario here. She says, to be honest with you, I'm in an executive position. I'm in an executive position on my job, and I feel very uncomfortable talking about the Bible or politics on my job and will not tolerate others to impose their beliefs at work. Furthermore, I think it's a personal thing that should take place at church settings. Okay, then. Then what do you think of that? Go, girl, let me give that one to you. And then same one, go to Fashion for Greatness. Go, girl, you on mute? Oh, wait a minute. You might be in the studio over here. No, you're not. Go, girl, are you there?
Yes, I am. All right. I'm sorry.
Okay, that's okay. So she's in executive position, and she doesn't do it, and she doesn't tolerate other people doing it either. So what do you think?
Well,
she said it should be done in a church setting. Let people go to church for themselves and figure it out. What do you think?
Everyone is not going to go to a church, so if you have the opportunity to do it wherever you are, you know, not barring your position or your job or anything, to voice it in a manner that will, you know, put you in jeopardy of defying what they're asking you to do. But if you can, you know, just you can pray for that person. You can tell them, oh, I've been praying for you. Or, you know, maybe they're having some kind of, you know, maybe death or some kind of situation where you want to just tell them, I've been thinking about you and I'm praying that the Lord is going to give you some peace or comfort, whatever it is. Just, it doesn't have to be all this extra, like I said, a big, huge situation or sermon. Just tell the people, tell the person what it is that you've experienced.
All right, we're almost out of time. Just quickly, we're going to go here. Fashion for Greatness, 15 seconds or less. What do you think? She's in a position,
yes,
and do it in church setting. Go ahead.
Actually, the church is inside of you, so you are the church. The building is just a building where we come together. So just as you said, you know, you be kind, you be nice, and, you know, present yourself how God has created you in his image and his likeness. Yes, we all have gone astray. We all have done bad things and will do bad things. But that does not mean that God cannot correct you to make your life different than someone else's. That's what I say. Lead by example and just represent Christ and continue to do it till it's perfected in you.
All right. On that note, we're clearly out of time. We're going to go over here to Sir Ben now. Close out on topic. What is your mission, to spread the gospel, or are you ashamed before men? Scriptures you want to take with you tonight are Matthew Matthew 10:33 and Luke 9:26. Look at those in your spare time. Sir Ben, close us out, please, sir.
Love will make your face shine. Love will give you peace of mind. Love will make your heart sublime. Love is a gift from God. Love will treat all men alike. Love will leave you free from spite. Love will make everything all right. Love is a gift from God. If we understand the love that he has for us and we apply it in our own lives, it doesn't matter what nobody thinks, say, or do about you, because God loves you individually. He loves the next person, the person after that, and the other person after that. But for our own selves, we got to realize that God loves us. And whatever gifts he's given us, use that gift to the glorification of him. I have a gift of just smiling. I walk around with a big old smile on my face because I have Christ in my heart, and it eludes out through my smile. So people come to me and say, why are you so happy? It's an opportunity to tell them why. So whatever gift you have, whether it's singing, talking, maybe you could just be a beautiful person. And if somebody comes and says, oh, you're so beautiful, just give them the love that God is giving you. Hey, you know what? God made me beautiful so that I can attract people to come and say, hey, why are you so beautiful? Because God made me that way. And that little seed could be the beginning of their journey with God. So use whatever you got to be a blessing, to be a planter. I'm a farmer. I'll go around just planting seeds here and there. And guess what? God will send somebody else around to water it. Don't worry about what you're doing with the planting. Just plant. Just go out and plant. Give a good word. Have a good night, everybody.
All right. On that note, we're clearly out of time. I want to thank all of you all for your participation, commentaries tonight. We certainly do appreciate that, and we certainly look forward to you all joining us in future shows. Please tell people about our shows. And listen, we're out of time tonight. They're sending me messages over here that we got to get off the air. So listen, what is your mission, to spread the gospel, or are you ashamed? Think about that. Think about that and decide to make a change on it. I certainly have thought about it, and I'm going to make a change effective this evening. So listen, I want to say to you all, join us here next Thursday for the Dr. Jess Walk Show. Of course, if you choose to bypass next Thursday, we'll be back here next Friday for your one-hour inspirational program, and followed by Saturday morning for our Miracle Prayer Day. So just in case you decide to miss any of those, we'll be back here next week. Listen, until next week, I want to say to my listening audience around the world, good night, God bless. And thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, Dr. Walker. Good night, Danny on the block.
God,
that was a great closing. And good night, everyone. God bless you all. Great closing when you talk about love. Love is very important. So keep well, everyone, and keep safe. God bless you all.
They'll know you're a Christian by your love.
Thank you. Amen. Let the work I do speak for me.